Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? Sunday. I know you guys is some of you guys didn't go to church today, so we got a message for you, you know. You know, so this is Al Weekly, and we actually got a guest on the call today that's gonna be giving their perspective on I think you got me on speakerphone. It's kind of like the background is I can hear myself talking. I don't know if you got me on speakerphone, actually. But, hello? Okay, so, yeah, we got a guest on the call today, so we're going to be giving you guys a perspective on, you know, a recent failure that you may have had. You know, we all had recent failures. You know, we all need to, we all struggle, you know, trying to overcome challenges, you know, so, and we all had recent failures recently. So, you know, I was inspired to come up with a call where we can have a plan, a different perspective on how to overcome challenges and, you know, discouragement and stuff like that. So I appreciate you guys being on the call, and I appreciate people on the email list, on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, you know, being a part of the call. So, yeah, let's go ahead and get to it. Our guest speaker, her name is Ashley. She's a businesswoman, and she has a different perspective on the way life works. I respect her views, and she can go ahead and take it away and bless us this Sunday morning. So, go ahead and take it away, Ash.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, awesome. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm very honored and excited to be on the call this morning. Thank you, Al, for inviting me to be on the call. This particular subject matter is very much so something that I think we all can relate to, discouragement and, you know, going through different failures and challenges. So I kind of just want to share with you guys some things that I do to help me overcome when I'm facing a discouraging situation or a failure. So just jumping right in, I think we have to be mindful of how we use our words. It's funny because I work with a lot of kids at my church as far as the children's ministry, and we're always telling them to use their words, but that's something that I think as adults we have to learn to do as well. And it's using our words in a way that's uplifting to us and empowering to us. Like, I know for myself recently, I transitioned from one department at work to another department. And what I realized in making that transition from one department to the next, not only was I making that transition there, but I had to make a transition in my mindset as well in order to be successful in the new role. So when I initially got over there, I was struggling a bit. I was struggling because I serve in a customer service type role there. So I was just struggling on the calls, feeling confident with the subject matter, just different things of that nature. So I was getting these reviews, and they weren't coming back the way I wanted them to come back. So I had to have a wake-up call, a wake-up moment, or a come-to-Jesus meeting with myself and get on the right track. So what I started to do is really use my words. I started to affirm, you know, I'm an excellent communicator. I communicate with love. I'm able to bring out the best in people when I talk to them. I started saying all these things in order to get my mindset in the place it needed to be in order to have success in that role. And now I'm having success in that role. So I feel that's something that's very simple, but something that's not always employed by us, and it's something that we definitely got to make sure we're utilizing because our words truly have power. So that's one thing that I do. Secondly, is just surrounding yourself with great people. I have a young lady that I know. Her name is Jaleela Simpson. She's actually over an organization out here in the Houston area called Girls, and it's an organization that pretty much just helps young ladies feel empowered and edified in who they are. And, you know, she's on my Facebook, and from time to time we have conversations, but she's a very encouraging person. And, you know, in turn, I do the same for her. So I think it's just important that we make sure that we surround ourselves with people who are pouring into us positive things and that we can do the same with. Another concept for me is just having meaningful conversations with people. Because I know a lot of times people find it easy to gossip or talk about negativity, but when I have a conversation with you, I want to make sure I'm adding value to you and you're adding value to me. I know Al and I, we had a conversation earlier this week, and he was sharing a lot of great ideas with me. And hopefully I was sharing some stuff that was uplifting to him as well. But just having those types of conversations. And then last but not least is mentorship. And for me, that was big because initially I looked at a mentor as somebody that I had to call every day. They had to be with me all the time. This is somebody I had to be like with me just in every way, shape, and form. But what I realized is, you know, I can have a mentor that's thousands of miles away from me. It's a matter of, like, finding people to read about it, read that have accomplished what I want to accomplish. So I know I study people like Bob Proctor. I read stuff from Michael Beckwith. You name it, I'm reading their material. And so I'm learning their ideas and studying their ideas and, you know, adding them to what I do. So in turn, I'm able to grow in those same ways. So those are just a few concepts that I use in order to help me overcome discouragement and failure.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So you said that you have to talk to, we have to find people that's positive. How do you really think that helps, how does that help us out if we're around people right now that's negative and really not supportive of our dreams and our outcomes? How do we get around those people that's positive, plan of action that we can do to get around positive people if we got negative people around us right now?
Excellent question. To me, it's kind of like a weaning. Like, you know, we wean babies off from milk, wean them off of milk into food. Same concept when it applies to, like, people in your life. You kind of got to wean yourself off those negative people. You got to find a way to kind of, you know, figure out who's on your team, who's playing for Team Al, Team Ashley, whoever the case may be, who really supports you in what you do. And that's the people that you're going to want to surround yourself with. And to be honest, you're probably going to go through a period where you may not have any friends. You may not have anyone you're talking to. And then what I'm talking about as far as using your word for good to uplift yourself, you're your own encourager. You're your own person that's pouring into yourself, like reading things and just speaking positive things over yourself in order to, you know, keep moving towards your cause or your purpose. But that's what I would say.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, that's awesome. Plan of action and those ideas on how we can overcome discouragement or recent failure. I'm trying to record for the people online that's listening. I'm trying to record my screen, but it won't do it. So, I got to do another audio only. Sucks. But, so, you know, what we're doing today is just a two-part session where, you know, the guest speaker is giving out their views on how to, you know, overcome discouragement and a recent failure. And now I'll go in and talk about, you know, how I view it and, excuse me, on how we can overcome a recent discouragement and failure. Basically, you know, I talked about this last week, you know, Al Weekly, hashtag Al Weekly. You guys know what it is. We did the Worry Buster last Sunday, the Worry Buster. And I talked a lot about that, and this actually ties into that. But I think the first thing, when you run into a recent failure, you know, you have a goal or something like that, you run into a recent failure, I think in this four-step process, like I said in the title, you know, we give you guys a four-step process. I think the first thing we got to ask ourselves is, like, how did we get here? Okay, so, you know, we set a goal to get into grad school. I know a lot of people listening is in their late 20s, early 30s kind of thing. So some people may be getting into grad school. So let's use that example. So you set a goal and you try to get into grad school and then you fail. You know, you got all this money saved up and everything, and just as an example. So you want to ask yourself, when you had a recent failure, like, you know, how did we get here? You know, how did you fail? You know, you want to look back at the thoughts that you had, the actions that you took, you know, and so that's the first thing. We got to ask ourselves, how did we get here? Now, sometimes I think we fail because of unrealistic deadlines. you know, there's no such thing as unrealistic goals, just unrealistic deadlines. You know, there's no such thing as an unrealistic goal, but the time frame that you put on it may not be that realistic. Now, I don't believe in, you know, I'm kind of with Tim Ferriss in a four-hour work week. I'm kind of with, if the goal isn't unrealistic, then it's not a real goal. That's what he believes, and I believe that too. But I'm not saying, you know, you never made $100,000 in a year. You say, I'm going to make it in 4 months, you know. You may want to be a little more realistic, because having a $100,000 goal in a year period is maybe unrealistic to people, but in 4 months, coming from making $30,000 a year, so it may, you may want to be a little more realistic, you know. But so, you know, going back to the beginning, you know, how did we get here? How did we fail? It may be because of an unrealistic deadline that we set. Another thing that I noticed in doing some research on this for this call, because I had my own ideas, but also I looked at other people's ideas. A lot of people were saying that the reason that we fail, or that we had a recent failure or discouragement, is because of self-sabotage, you know. And some examples of self-sabotage is procrastination, you know, excessive anxiety or failure to follow through with your goals. So that's another reason why you may have had a recent failure, or you're discouraged right now. You're self-sabotaging, procrastinating, knowing you're supposed to do something but putting it off to tomorrow. Thing was low self-esteem or low self-confidence, you know, because we can take actions to achieve our goal, but on the inside, we feeling like we really don't deserve it, or having low self-esteem, and people see that. And sometimes you may have a failure because of that, or a recent discouragement. Another one that I kept seeing, which was interesting, is perfectionism. You know, a willingness to only try things that you know you'll finish perfectly and successfully. I thought that was interesting. You know, people think perfectionism is something positive, but it can be looked at as negative too, because if you're a perfectionist, you're only willing to try things that you know is going to work out versus venturing off into the deep, into something unknown. So that may be another reason why we failed. Number two, since we had this recent failure and we're feeling bad, and, you know, we looking at, okay, how did I get here? You know, how did I get to this place? The next thing you want to do is you want to change the way you look at it. So like a paradigm shift. So what we need to recognize is that the failure is not us. It just was a part of the journey. It's kind of like a basketball game, you know. If the people that's in the NBA, you know, they're playing a game. You know, they're in there playing a game against another team. So if somebody if you're dribbling the ball and you're trying to be showboating, you know, trying to cross somebody over and you get ripped, you know, somebody steal the ball from you and they go and, you know, they go down on the other end and win the and shoot the ball to win the game, you may be like, dang. You know, you may start feeling bad, and it's because of you that your team lost the game. Oh, I'm a failure. That don't make any sense. Think about it. You know, you're a failure just because you lost the game. That's just a basketball game. That don't mean you're a failure in life. It just was a part of the game that you know, you need to tighten up your skills. So whatever you failed in right now, if it was going to grad school or trying to get a job or trying to do a business deal or trying to do a relationship with somebody and it didn't work, don't look at yourself as a failure. I mean, that just look at it like you just failed at that, in that scenario, just like with the basketball game. I'm not going to look at myself as a failure if somebody ripped the ball from me and, you know, went on the other end of the goalpost and scored. You know, that's just ridiculous for me to walk around like, I'm a failure. Just because, you see what I'm saying? Like, we got to change the paradigm. Like, we got to change the mindset around failure. You're not a failure. You just failed at that situation, right? So I think that's important to look at it differently. Just because you failed on a job, you didn't meet the deadline, or you lost this relationship, or, you know, the business deal didn't go through, that don't mean that you're a failure in life. You just failed at that task. It's just a game. You need to go back in and figure out how to dribble better, you know, how to play the game of basketball better, so that don't happen again. That don't mean that you're a failure, because some people look at it like that, like they're a failure in life, period, just because one scenario happened. That's kind of ridiculous if you think about it. So, you know, that's another way to look at it, you know, change the mindset, the paradigm shift. We're on step two here. another thing is, you know, we need to look at failure as part of the journey. You know, a lot of people don't want to fail. You know, I had some relationship issues recently. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, like, dang, I don't want to go through the whole, you know, going, restarting all over again, talking to people, you know, filling people out. You know, you guys know what it is when you're in a serious relationship and then you get out and you're like, gosh, I'm back on the market. So some people don't even want to go through that to get to where the relationship they want. So they just settle for being single and being alone for a long time. You know, because they don't want to go through the whole shifting through people and, you know, trying to find the right person. But that's part of the goal. I mean, the people that's listening right now, for you people that's happily married or been in a long-term relationship, before you met the person, you had to go through, you know, different scenarios, different failures, a guy looking like he's going to be it and he wasn't, or a girl looking like she's going to be it, she wasn't, some disappointment, and then, boom, you ran into the right person. So we just need to fail for it fast. You know, a lot of people don't want to experience failure, so they don't do nothing at all. But you just need to fail for it fast. I mean, and just hurry up and get to it so you can get through the failures and get to where you need to go. You know, if you think about a rocket going into the sky, you know, a rocket is off course 90% of the time, you know, when it takes off. And, you know, and the scientists, they have to constantly keep aligning the rocket, you know, to get to this destination, which is the moon or somewhere. But it's always off course, you know. They have to keep adjusting. It's always failing, basically, you know. So you got to keep adjusting it. I mean, we can't look at life like that, or we'll never do anything or never go anywhere. Failure is part of the journey is what I'm trying to say, because number two is the whole paradigm shift. We have to look at it differently. So, you know, if you guys think about a plane, experiences of resistance as well. So a lot of times, you know, we don't want to take off with that goal or that plan because we're like, oh, it may fail, or we may look stupid, or it may not work initially. Well, hey, that's the plane taking off. You know, when a plane takes off, we, you know, the plane's shaking and until it gets up into the sky, you know, past the clouds and everything, and now it's just everything is smooth. But you got to go through that shaky period sometimes, and sometimes that may be failure or recent discouragement, you know. But a lot of people are just planes that never take off. They're just sitting there in the runway, just, I don't want to experience discouragement. I don't want to experience any shakiness. And they just sit there, you know, as a plane that never takes off. So if you're experiencing resistance, or if you have some discouragement towards a goal, then that's a good thing, because you actually took off and you're moving, right? You're moving towards the outcome. And so, you know, you can feel good about that. And another thing we need to look paradigm shift is, you know, the fear. Because when we fail, if we had a recent discouragement, fear immediately comes up into the soul. And then we start to, you know, not even take action. We're like, man, I failed at this, man. It sucks. I did everything it took and I still failed, man. You know, and then fear comes up and we don't even want to take any more action. But, you know, fear is actually not real. You know, fear is actually not real if you think about it. It's intangible. So, I mean, let me prove it to you. Okay, if I give you $20 and say go to Walmart and say, hey, go purchase me some fear, you know, bring it back to me. You can't do it because it's intangible. It's all in our heads. It's all in our minds. It's false evidence appearing real. So right now you're experiencing fear, because you just had a recent failure or discouraged about something. So the fear isn't real. So if you're in a relationship and it didn't work out, now you're feeling fear to actually go do something else, to get another relationship. Or if it's your health, if you was believing for healing and, you know, you didn't get healed, now you're experiencing fear. So, you know, it's intangible. It's all in our minds. And we need to redirect that energy into faith, you know, replace fear with faith. You know, it's just an indicator. The fear is just an indicator that we're off track and that we're on the wrong path. You know, it's just when we have discouragements and failures, like Oprah talked about, you know, it's just God or whatever you believe is a higher power just leading you back to your true self. So you may be in the wrong relationship. It may have got you, if you're in the wrong relationship or in the wrong business or, you know, in the wrong position in life, sometimes the power, the force, allows us to fail so we can get back on track. to our true life purpose. You know, whether you know it or not, I feel like the power is just leading us back to our ultimate purpose. Like, everything is love. It's all love. You know, when we discipline a child and we take something from them, or, you know, they're in a little league and then we see that this little league is going to be bad for them, we take them out and they really was practicing hard, you know, they may look at life as unfair. Like, life is unfair. My mom took me out of little league. I really practiced hard. But the parents saw ahead of time, provision. They saw ahead of time that that little league was probably something illegal was going on, some illegal activity was probably going on or whatever. And they took them out. See what I'm saying? That's love. So it's like the power is just guiding us back to, so sometimes we experience fear. I mean, we experience discouragement or recent failure out of love. Like, it's all love. It's not God trying to kick you in the butt or whatever. You know, it's God trying to, whatever you believe is a higher power, trying to get you back on track to get to your ultimate purpose, you know, why you was put here. Because remember, you beat hundreds of millions of potential people to be here, so it's a purpose. So, you know, you either was off track, meaning you was on the right path, you on your purpose, but you just got off track, or you may have been on the wrong path completely. You know, and then that fear or that discouragement or recent failure you had is a wake-up call so you can get back on the right track, is what I'm trying to say. So that's step number two. You know, we just talked about paradigm shift, right? So number one was, why did we fail? You know, we just look at it, analyze it, because like Thoreau said, you know, the unexamined life is a life not worth living. So we got to examine why we failed, which is part one. Number two is paradigm shift. You know, we need to look at fear, look at discouragement and fear of failure differently. And then number three is we need to commit to a new outcome. You know, so if I'm going, if I had a relationship issue, you know, as an example, I would look at, how did I get here? How did I get divorced? Or how did I get, how did I meet this wrong person? Then number two is I look at it differently. Like, well, just because I got divorced or just because I met the wrong guy or the wrong girl, does this mean love is not for me? You know, some people look at it like that, like, oh, love is not for me. You know, or they do a business deal and it don't work out. Oh, being wealthy is not for me. That's ridiculous. You know, when a child is learning how to walk, you know, and they fall down, they just don't fall down and say, well, hey, I guess walking ain't meant for me. All these other babies walking and crawling and walking. I fell down, bumped my head. Hey, I guess walking is not meant for me. It's ridiculous. You know, they keep getting up and they keep walking, you know, primarily because they don't know any better, you know, but we need to learn from them. And even in the Bible, it talks about, you know, being, Jesus is always talking about like being like a child, you know, to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's, I always think about that, you know, when the Bible really relates, like doing things as children do in relation to experiencing the kingdom of God, whether you believe that's in the afterlife or here on earth, which I believe is, you know, kind of like here on earth, you know, and in the afterlife, I guess. But so we need to commit to the new, we need to commit to a new process. So if I failed in a relationship, as an example, then I would say, you know what, I would reexamine the goal, make it more clear, and set a new deadline for the new goal, and now a new plan. And so now we're just taking, we're doing, we have the same goal, but now the plan is clear to achieve that goal, and we're taking new steps, a new plan of action. So you may want to look at what other people are doing that achieve the goal. You know, model their paradigm, model their process, you know. And then number four, which is the main reason that inspired me to do this call, because see, when I do these calls, I really like to give real value. I just don't get on calls and just be like, yeah, just pray it off and everything's going to be okay. You know, just think positive and everything's going to be okay. You know, I don't, my calls are not about that. It's not what How to Change My Life movement is it about, because I listen to audio tapes a lot throughout the day, majority of the time. I've been doing this for years, and I come across a lot of good concepts that I use myself and that I think can use as a people to help us change our life. So this action plan I'm about to give you now, which is step four, is something that I learned a while ago. It's by a guy named Bill Bartman. So he actually was a billionaire that a lot of people didn't know about. You guys can check out his site, BillBartman.com. Actually, he's really ideal. You know, I'm basically going to be just like him, or I'm just like him in a way. But he talked about this process called notable accomplishments. This is powerful because I actually tried this a while back when I first heard about it. Notable accomplishments is when you're feeling down, when you're feeling discouraged, when you're feeling like nobody, like the whole world is on your shoulders, like weighing down on you, like 1,000 pounds is on you, you can't rise up. A lot of people just die. They let the weight stay on them, and they don't, you know, they just die in that process. But some people have all that weight on them, and if they have skills and tactics and strategies, like I'm about to share, then they're able to lift that impossible weight off of them. And what it's called is notable accomplishments. Now, Bill Bartman shared this in a call. I went to a T.R. Vector seminar, and I had bought some stuff, and they gave this as a bonus. Basically, what the notable accomplishment is you write down on a sheet of paper everything that you ever felt good about in life, you know, like everything that was good to you, that everything that you didn't know how you was going to do, but you it ended up happening. Like you may write down like, well, my first car, I didn't know how the hell I was going to get a car. Everybody in high school was getting cars and, you know, I didn't have no job, but my grandfather one day just saw I was working, was trying to save up money. And he just surprised me with a car. And I end up getting a car. You know, you may write that down. Nobody else in the world cares about that goal, but it's important to you. So you write it down. You write that down. Then you write down like, damn, I didn't know how I was going to go to prom. You know, I thought I was going to go to prom with nobody, you know, and so-and-so just end up asking me out the blue. I manifested that. That was important to me. Write it down. You know, I didn't know how I was going to finish college, you know, I mean, I didn't know how I would do it, but it ended up happening, and you write that down. So you literally write down everything in your life that you ever experienced. You write down everything in life that was important to you. No, everything that was everything that you achieved that you didn't know how you was going to do, you just literally record it and write it down. I mean, you got to spend time doing this. Like when I did it, I came up with like 70 different things. That notable accomplishments. Like one of them that I'll share is, and I still get emotional when I think about it. One of my notable accomplishments was when I was in high school, I always had a dream of going to college. Like, you know, it just was instilled in me. You know, I was the first person in my family to go to college. So, well, a big name college, I guess. But when I was applying for schools and stuff like that, I was getting denied by all these schools. Like, I got denied by like 5 different schools, and my mother, she really was dependent on me. Like she really, you know, because I'm adopted, so she really wanted to see her adopting one of these kids, you know, to go off and do something big, like going to college, you know. So I really felt bad that I kept getting denied at these schools, you know. I really felt bad because I kept getting denied, so I kept applying, and nobody accepted me. So here graduation day comes around. I got my cap and gown on. Everybody bragging about their schools and everything, and I'm like, damn, you know, I guess I'm just be one of these people who didn't go to school. I guess I'm be one of those people who just didn't have something special like that happen, even though, you know, I really felt like that should happen. So I graduated from high school and still wasn't accepted to a college. And then 2-3 days later, after I graduated, that's when a letter from a college in Atlanta came, and I got accepted to school. So I actually wrote, that was one of my notable accomplishments. I still remember that day when I found out. I stepped on the gas. I was like, whoo, I was so happy. So even though that was like a long time ago, over a decade ago, I still feel good about that when I think about that. I still feel empowered. So when I'm in my down and out moment, I'm like, you know what? I can pull out my notable accomplishments and read over those 70 plus things that I manifested in my life, things that I didn't know how was going to happen, but it happened. See what I'm saying? That's power. Until you actually do these things, you're just going to be listening to these calls, and you're not going to really see the power in it. You know, that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I've been down and out, and I whip out my notable accomplishments list, and I feel empowered again, because you may feel like you're nothing. You may feel like, you know, you don't have any power, but then you go back to this list. That shows you all these things that you were, all the things that you manifested in your life, whether they were big or small, everything that felt good to you, you write it down on a sheet of paper. You know, and to go a step further, which I was talking to my sister about, we should actually record this on a video, you know, and read off our notable accomplishments, staring at in a camera saying, hey, you know, remember when you did this? You're powerful. And then go to the next one. You didn't know how this was going to happen, and you did this, Anthony, or whatever your name is. Look in the camera and say, you're powerful. Like, that actually recently recorded mine because I heard about that concept a few weeks ago. I was like, damn, that's pretty powerful. You know, versus just having it written down on a sheet of paper. We can record ourselves looking at us. So when you're down and out, when you didn't get the business deal, didn't happen, okay? When your car got repoed, all right, you ain't got nowhere to stay, right? Relationship went bad. You got fired from your job. Whatever it is, you can go back to that notable accomplishment video, ideally, or the list. And when you're feeling down and out or discouraged, when you're working on the next plan, you have something to go back to where you can pump yourself. You can motivate yourself. You see what I'm saying? Because it's deeper than listening to Les Brown or Al Tillman or whatever, right? When you listen to yourself talking about your own stories, that's powerful. You know, that's the most power you can have when you're actually looking at yourself, telling yourself certain things. There's really something to that. You know, even T.R. Eker talked about it in his seminars. He encourages people to have a goal written down and look at it and read it to themselves in the mirror while staring at themselves, that you are something or that you have achieved something. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of I wanted to share with you guys, you know. And then the last one is, you know, a lot of people say, I can't do this, I can't do that. So, you know, you may want to change that from, you know, how can I? You may want to start asking the question, how can I, when you're discouraged, you know. Instead of saying, I can't do this, I can't do that, you need to ask the question, how can I? You know, and then new ideas will come up. But I appreciate you guys listening in. You know, I hope you guys got something from that. You know, notable accomplishments, and then the other things that Ashley shared, you know, having a support team around you in times of discouragement, maybe like a mastermind group, which Napoleon Hill talks about. But this is Al, you know, Al Weekly, hashtag Al Weekly. You guys need to go to the website, howtochangemylife.org, subscribe to that email list. I appreciate you guys doing that. And we send out those we send out motivational emails, you know, weekly. And, yeah, you guys go join the list, like the fan page, facebook.com/howtochangemylife. I appreciate you guys liking the page as well. So you guys tune in tomorrow to Manifestation Mondays. We got the book club on every Wednesday or Thursday. I got an important meeting next Thursday, so we'll definitely be doing it on Wednesday, the book club, and then we do Al Weekly on Sunday. So I appreciate you guys listening in. This is Al. And this is Ashley. You know, we appreciate you guys listening in, and you guys enjoy the rest of your morning. And some of you guys haven't went to church, make sure you do so later on today. I'll probably check out church later on today as well. So this is Al. I love all y'all that's listening. Appreciate you guys. Peace out.